slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway. It's showtime!
One car with the front of it that was junk, and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car, and welded up the other.
The reason why I decided to, you know, move to Sean's number and use it was just because in memory of Sean was his V8. And, you know, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by.
Racing, and next thing you know, she's on the flag stand running, the, you know, doing flag and all my quarterback. I'm like, where did you come from?
You definitely have to want it. You know, you can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you.
I hope they just, like, soak it all in, because you don't know when it could be over, right? Like, you might, hey, like, mom and dad can't do this anymore, right? Like, yeah. We don't have the money, or we can't find the sponsors, whatever it is. I just soak it all up while it's happening.
That was at Elma. This is a different track. I don't think it'll be the same thing. He's like, oh, okay, you can throw it on. We threw the GoPro on his car, and he actually did pretty good that night, I believe. So we're like, see, convinced him. I was like, see, it's only at Elma. You can't run a GoPro. And then the next week, I believe he blew up a motor with the GoPro on, so I haven't put a GoPro on his car since then.
Well, welcome into episode 14 of On the Gas, a Skagit Speedway podcast. Blake Anderson, Eric List with you. Back for one final episode of the 2025 calendar year of Skagit Speedway. This is not the final episode of On the Gas, but one more race reeking ahead of us, the Survive the 55, Blake Anderson.
Yeah, big one. IMC Modified is kind of their premier event, highest paying modified race on the West Coast. We've got registrations starting to roll in as we're, tomorrow afternoon we'll be on the racetrack for night one of the 55, your first 55,
yeah, too. I'm so excited. That's exciting. I'm stoked.
We've got the midgets running on Friday with them, mm-hmm, and the 360 sprint cars on Saturday for $3,000 a win purse, which is a good purse for the 360s, and the midgets have running for a strong purse of $1,000 a win. So should be fun to have all of them on board. Non-points, of course, as we'll talk about here. We ended our points season this past weekend and crowned all six champions on Friday and Saturday, which was really fun, and had some good points battles, Eric, that came down to the last couple laps.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you want to talk about close points. The sports and sprint cars, yeah, 1 point was the difference between first and second place. Steven Hendrickson ends up getting it done. Jane Whitney second, and Justin Jacobson in third. Justin Jacobson won the A-Main, but still finishes third in points. And Jane Whitney, one singular point separating
one
him
spot
from a title.
Whether and one spot, qualifying, mm-hmm, heat race, A-Main, that's the difference.
And what an impressive feat it was to see him back in the car Saturday after the accident he had Friday. Both him and Jessen ran 360s. Jaden got upside down, ended up going to the hospital. He was okay, just sore. And it kind of sounded like by looking at some of their Facebook stuff, they were going to play it by ear depending on how he was feeling after hot laps. But
I saw that
that
they
kid
said
put
Reese
in a,
would,
put in a heck of an effort.
He said that Reese would get in the car, mm-hmm, if he wasn't feeling up to it after hot laps. But yeah, that was impressive. And Jaden and Jessen both made their 360 sprint car debuts on Friday night, which was neat to see, kind of a look at the future. And
I believe Jessen was hard charger in that too, wasn't he?
Was. He was. Yeah. Got some money from Andrew Kunis for that, which was cool, like $400 and some odd.
Yeah, something like that. So
hard charger, I think. Yeah, got him. Yeah,
K-Bucks, something like that.
K-Bucks is what Andrew calls him. But you look, Macy Logsdon was fourth in points and Jalen Serrano fifth. And I have to think the top three are all going to be running 360s full-time next year, not chasing the sporty title. So that certainly opens things up. And we had 29 sporties.
It was a
our
really
highest
healthy
car count
field.
I've got to 2005.
Okay.
That's the highest car count I've seen. We had 28 one night a couple years ago. 29 the highest. So, which is cool. I mean,
where do you think we pulled them from?
I don't know.
Get a little residual of since Grace Harbor wasn't racing that weekend?
A little,
or is it
but
just we had some
really
people kind of trying out for next year?
I think that more than anything is you've got people that are putting things together for next year and a night to opportunity to kind of shake things down, which is neat. And then Jalen Serrano, she cracked off her third top five, mm-hmm, of the year, and she slowly chipped away at it. Macy obviously has been fast all year, but Jalen, we saw steady improvements, mm-hmm, all year long, which is neat to see. And I mean, we talked about it last week. I enjoy the sporties. You do too. And yeah. they provided great racing for us all year long. So that was a phenomenal points battle all season to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. But the 360 points, Trey.
Yeah.
Did what Trey does in the 360, just dominated. Jason Solwald second. Colton Heath was third. He's a multi-time track champion. Levi Hillier fourth and Tanner Holm fifth. And the best points battle was Colton Heath and Levi Hillier. And that got interesting as we chipped away at the Summer Challenge yep. points battle because Colton Heath, a fuel line came loose early and was fuel all over him, had to go to the work area. And that points battle for the Summer Challenge Series with Elma
yeah.
came down to the last couple it laps did. Of Colton passing a couple cars in the last two laps to get that championship for $2,500. So that was kind of a points battle within a points battle that we got to watch.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting points battles. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because, yeah, that was 20 points, I believe, going into the night.
Yeah, Levi got
and then
quick
Levi,
time. And
yep, so made up 10 quickly in qualifying and went, oh, this is going to get really good. And
yeah, and they had new motor in, so obviously ran pretty well. And Trey Starks picked up the win, 25th yep. career 360 sprint car win here, which is second most since 2005 behind Colton Heath at 27. Colton, so yeah. Colton's chipped away at a lot of those. And
back-to-back 360 championships for Trey.
And first guy, drivers, oh, we'll hit on it, 410 yep. points, got the 410 points in. First driver in 20-plus years since Randy Ridge did it to win the 360s and 410s, I think since 2000, I think is the year Randy Ridge did it. But that yeah. was pretty neat and a heck of accomplishment out of Trey.
And that was
last
another.
Year got the owner title but didn't yep. get the driver title.
And that was a another really close, well, really, actually, yeah, really close points battle between him and Jason Soule.
Yeah.
It flipped hands after high limit, and then it went back to Trey after the night.
Trey ended up getting it by yep. 35 points. But, yeah,
it was back and forth.
Jason was leading the points, and Trey had a solid night, yep. took it back by like 13 points, and then Saturday night really kind of ran away with things. Robbie Price finished third in points, and Robbie, tough year for Robbie in a roundabout way because he led a lot of laps and just couldn't get back to the top of the podium, but a lot of podium finishes for Robbie. Jesse Schlotfeldt was fourth, and I'm excited to see. I think we're going to see Robbie and Jesse down in California quite a bit the next couple of weeks. I know we're going to see Jesse quite a bit
yeah.
down south running with NARC. And then JY came home fifth in points. He's enjoying his top five in points at Disneyland right now. So
what a good year overall for him.
Yeah,
picks up a win, consistent
win.
Top five and top 10 car.
Yeah.
Showed a lot of speed.
They showed they can do it, and I mm-hmm. think that was big for JY to know that he can do it. And right in the mix, I mean, Robbie, Jess, Schlotty, and just JY were just 40, 50 points separating
yeah.
them. I mean, less than a night. So good points battles within that. That knocks out our sprint car points. The IMCA modified, Jeff Westergaard picked it up by 8 points, which mm-hmm. is eight positions on the
yeah.
racetrack because they're 1 point per position, only game main points. In the modified. So Westy kind of just did what Westy does. He didn't win as much this year.
No, it was a quieter year in that regard.
Chipped away at top fives. Adam Holtrup, solid year. Didn't get the win, but I think four or five podiums for Adam. Big sexy.
So you mentioned that, and here's the thing. Westergaard never missed the top 10 in eight features, and Holtrup missed the top 10 once in eight features.
That's enough.
And honestly, the one time he missed it, he missed the top five. He had seven top fives in eight
yeah.
features race.
So, I mean, that's tough to gain points when you've got mm-hmm. a guy doing that. Absolutely. James Bundy, a solid year for James. Multiple appearances on the podium. Came home third in points, just 3 points ahead of Cole Logan, who was the rookie of the year. And I think Cole, our podcast
yep.
guest a couple of podcasts ago, check that podcast out. Cole, that was a good one. Really, Cole was super informative in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But Cole certainly stole some eyes this year with a couple of wins. And Rory Smith, fifth in points out of nowhere, just dominated a week ago.
I didn't expect that
at
all.
That was great to see. And I think we've got some unique individuals that maybe didn't expect to pick up wins that did this year and take some momentum into the 55 this weekend. Our modifieds, I've said it all year long, and I talked with Mel Decker this morning, mm-hmm. ironically, and they really
they've really
upped
picked
the
it up
ante
uh-huh.
this year. They finished races, they didn't tear up as much stuff, and a lot more fun to watch. So a hat tip to those guys. In the Hornets, Howard Voss, he had it locked up going
yeah.
into the night. He didn't have to show up.
No, not at all.
And he locked up the championship. But Bryce Kolar, an impressive year, picked up the win, and Bryce was super pumped. I've talked to him on the phone a couple of times, as working some things out on some ticketing stuff with him, and he was super excited to pick up that win. That was, run on the podium.
Yeah.
Got on the podium, got second.
In
William
Sonic
picked up the win. But He had a solid year. Dave Hill, third in points. Tazio Andreasen, fourth. And Scott Henry, Subaru Scott, a winner this year. Put the Subaru in victory lane earlier in the year. So the Hornets, you and I both enjoy them. I love
so
watching
fun.
Them.
Because it's like a modified where they can kind of rub on each other a little bit, but they keep it going. And,
it's cool
and they do. They race hard, but they're clean.
They're street cars,
yes.
Which is what
you
I
or I
kind
get
of,
in one, Blake Anderson.
Kind of, exactly. Which is what I appreciate about them. Takes me back to the days of growing up and seeing the guys go to the junkyard and get a car. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the last true junkyard to racetrack car out there is the Hornets, and they put on a good show every night. The fans seem to really enjoy them, and Caleb do a nice job giving them some nicknames and some fun. That have some fun, and they enjoy the fans. They get the most excited when they win, which I love seeing. I mean,
it's
William
so
Zotnick was on the moon with his win. I mean, so excited.
Mike Guffey was stoked to chat with me in third. Like he was just so like
Mike, a
winner
a year ago.
They're genuinely good people.
They are. They are.
That's all race car drivers are, but they're such a fun class. 2 points. Howard Voss, we talked about consistency in the modifieds. Again, never missed the top five in eight features.
Yeah, it's just
like that's just and two wins.
A lot of nights seem to be in a different time zone.
And especially two where they have to come from the back. He doesn't get the
privilege. There were some nights it was no invert, but a couple nights it was a full invert where you mentioned it. We had 20 cars. He's coming from 20th.
Yeah. And he still finds a way to finish a top five. Like that's moving. And the other point, for all these classes, it's really fun to see all the designations of R.
Yeah,
kind of meaning rookie, kind of, sort of.
You can kind of believe into that because we don't, if you're on the website, we don't control that. That's the driver, so it's not
kind of, sort of.
But, yes, I mean, it is neat to see. I mean, we had a lot.
How
we had
many?
Rookies. And I've heard rumblings of a couple guys adding next year, running some Hornets here. So we could pretty consistently next year possibly be above 20 Hornets a night.
Yeah. It's just fun to look at for all the classes who
who
the young talent are and watching that young talent explode and finish well in points.
The sprint cars, we're going to start to see some transition next year, I feel like. There's a couple guys I know moving into a 410 next year, which is cool. We like that. Obviously, that's kind of our bread and butter, and that's the premier division here. And we've obviously got some 360 or some sporty guys moving to 360s, and we've got
a lot
several
of Deming people.
New Deming folks that are moving into sporties next year. So I think you're going to see next year we're going to have our highest car counts. I'll call my shot right now that we've had in our 4 years
Mark
of ownership
here.
Mark it here on Wednesday at noon is when we're recording our intro and outro that on September 24th. Yeah. We're going to have our highest car counts next year. Our sporties were never below 20 this year. That's impressive.
Yeah, you're right. They weren't.
They were never
and
below 20.
And they had a couple nights or numerous nights where we ran B mains because we had that many. So,
There are a couple things I'd like to maybe see change with our sporties next year format-wise, but that's another day, and that's a conversation with Galen just to kind of spice their racing up. Obviously, they don't need spice up too much because we had three cars battling for the championship in the final laps. That says enough. But that's cool, and our ladder system's working that we've talked about so much. And just our fifth, this is episode 14, but we had the bonus one in there, so 15. In our 15 episodes, we've talked about it so much, Eric, that ladder system that we have with Deming is truly, you can really see it in effect right now, which is we love seeing, and obviously we're grateful for Deming Speedway. But, yeah, we're going to have several new sporties next year of guys moving up out of Deming and several sporty drivers moving into the 360. I think some 360 teams adding a 410 into the mix. And your buddy Colin Mackey, I think.
I'm really excited for next year.
Him in the 410, I think, is the best I've seen him in a race car here at Skagit. He looks the most comfortable. He's been the most competitive. I think that's going to be fun. He looked great in Cam's car on Friday
so
night.
Good.
Like, I thought, boy, Cam might get a win here as car owner.
I did too.
That was neat to see. And he led laps in the 410 this year. His first night in the 410 led 28 laps. And if it weren't for a yellow with a couple to go, I think he'd have won that race.
And that's the biggest thing for Colin. It's just he never ran a sprint car. Well, I take that back. He ran a sprint car last year. But this year, I feel like, was really a true year of getting him comfortable in the car, getting him the feel he wants. And it showed as he was learning more. He was picking up speed. He qualifies really well most nights,
and
that helps a lot. He picked up a high limit heat race, so I'm excited to watch what he can do next year in a 410, and we'll see maybe some other classes.
Maybe some other classes. That'd be fun. But the next couple months is when we start to kind of hear rumors and things switching around, guys, what rides are swapping. Obviously, on the national level, that's in full swing right now. I mean, I got – it's unreal
sure
the amount
up.
Of rumors going on at, right now on the in the national level, and I think things are going to look a lot different next year. And I think things are going to be good for us when High Limit visits next year. That's for sure. They've got a lot of momentum right now, and their points battle is phenomenal. So if you're looking to check something out, check out the High Limit races the next couple of weeks. They've got 3 weeks left in their season on Flow Racing. And a big event that the news hitting here, when it comes out, it'll, you know, when this episode comes out, but Trophy Cup down in Tulare. Obviously, Kev and John are running things at Trophy Cup now, and that's going to be on Flow Racing this year for the first time. So that's super exciting. I think that's really going to help with the expansion of the event.
Oh, I think so too.
So I think that's key to you know, get that in front of a big audience on Flow Racing, and you no extra money needed there. It comes with your yearly subscription, so your dad with his Flow subscription is going to be able to watch. But we're going to have a good field there at Trophy Cup. I know the entries are starting to flow in. So if you're listening and you know a driver that hasn't entered or typically runs Trophy Cup, check with them to make sure that they've entered, because it saves them a little bit of money to enter early.
And if you want tickets for that event, you can visit TulareTrophyCup.com. Under the fan info tab, there will be a number to call. You can either call the racetrack or – and not call – sorry, call Tulare. Don't call Skagit Speedway. Call Tulare. And then you can also buy them at the gate during Trophy Cup.
Shoot an email, too. There's an email there. If you can't get a hold of them, just shoot them an email, and they'll get back to you as soon as they can, because they're doing a lot of work, too, down there. And Tulare's busy. I mean, they run next weekend at NARC and SCCT running together next weekend on October 4th. So that'll be a fun one. That's the NARC. That's the SCCT finale, I believe.
Oh, really?
I want to say.
I can pull it
entirely
up.
Entirely sure.
I think that sounds about right.
I don't think it is. I take that back. I think that's the first week of November. I know it's not NARC's finale. But nonetheless, NARC and SCCT running together next weekend at Tulare. That should be a fun one. And you kind of, if you're looking to check it out and you're on the fence of coming to Trophy Cup, check that out. And you can see, get a good look at what Tulare. It's a cage match.
Well, so you like boring racing. That's exactly what Tulare will be.
Banging the boards.
Yep.
I mean, the Outlaws raced there last weekend and had the race of the year in sprint car racing. Absolutely the race of the year.
Yeah.
David Gravel and Spencer Baston put on a show. So check out those highlights on the Outlaws YouTube channel, or if you've got a Dirt Vision subscription, you can watch the full event replay there, or just the Fast Pass replay. But well worth your time.
Yeah. One more class to talk about, the CGE Garage Midgets.
Yeah.
Shane Smith picks up the win. Ryan Orchard, Nick Evans, top three. Alex Peck and Brad Pritchard round out the top five, and another nice
five
year
points
for
separating the top or third, fourth, and fifth right there.
Yeah.
And Brad Pritchard, as I'm entering results on the website, lots of full-time 410 driver back in the day. I didn't realize that.
I didn't either until I had done a sit-down interview with him, and
which
we kind of talked a little bit about that, and it's like, oh. Because I don't know if I missed it when trying to go back. I tried to go back and look, and
I didn't have,
and there wasn't
point,
a lot of
had,
it.
I wouldn't have
had
that entered at that point, so that makes sense.
But two wins for Shane Smith, and again, never missed the top five and eight features.
Yeah, just consistent as all get out. And Ryan Orchard, really, his breakthrough season, got to victory lane a couple times, had never won before.
He had three wins, one year's driver this year.
Nick Evans, another guy that is a former sprint car driver, 410, 360 starts in his card, and the Evans gang, they come home with a third place running points. Alex Peck, fourth, and Alex, I think, missed a race,
I believe. Yeah, he ran only seven races.
I knew he was going to miss
one,
at least talking to him at
Demi.
Or
what race it was.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
It was middle of the year. And then Brad Pritchard, fifth. And his son Andrew's starting to race now. He joined us, what, probably halfway through the season, I'd say?
He joined after Dirt Cup
Cup.
Right about the halfway point
Dirt
of our season.
Maybe Dirt Cup was his debut. It was right in there. But nonetheless, that was neat to add a midget there. And the midgets will run on Friday, so they'll run tomorrow here at Skagit. So you can come check that out if you want to see some Ford Focus midget racing. The Skagit midgets, their final race of the year, no points. And then the 360s on Saturday, no points. But full fields, bonus purse. And the Survive the 55 really kicks off. We have a great chat today with Mel Decker, who has been huge with helping us get the 55 rolling. Mel's out constantly finding partners for that event to raise the purse. And he did a 55 spots for $55 that raised $3,000 to get it to $500 to start instead of $350.
Yeah, Mel's worked
tirelessly.
Yes, I mean,
I met him this morning in Conway for 20 minutes to work on some things as he was driving his dump truck, or as I jokingly say, bump truck, because that's what he wrote one time as he was driving his
dump
truck.
Where bump truck
that's comes. Where bump truck comes from, is I was driving my bump truck. He disliked something on Facebook, the angry face, and it was a positive post, and we're like, what is going on? Why is Mel angry about this, and he's like, I was driving my bump truck.
Oh, okay.
Autocorrect got him, so I just called his bump truck. But yeah, he's driving his dump truck for Pack Trucking, Cooper Need or Cooper Needham's that Cooper works here, Jeff Needham, who Jeff owns Steven Hendrickson's car, Champion owns Pack Trucking, so they're partners over the 55. And Mel, I met him this morning to chat some things as he was dropping some things off in Conway. He had his dump truck down there and said, just meet me in Conway off the exit. So we stopped and chatted for a little bit and got some a couple things figured out. But if you're looking, if you can't make it this weekend and you want to watch IMCA.TV, you'll have the coverage. Mm-hmm. So get check out a subscription there.
Well, Blake and I will preview the 55 a little bit, but Mel joined us on Monday. So let's get to our conversation with Mel Decker here on the Gas. Well, on today's edition of On the Gas, we welcome in special guest and promoter of the 55, Mel Decker. Mel, how are you today? We appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
I'm very good. A little tired, but glad to get this going so we can promote this race this week.
Yeah, we're excited. It's going to be a two-day show here at Skagit Speedway this Friday and Saturday. But, Mel, what is this Friday the 55?
Oh, what is it? I guess you'd say it's a dream come true. Took me 5 years to finally get it. When the new owners bought this track, I'd been trying to do it for 5 years. It's, to me, it's the biggest race for IMCA cars in the United States of America. It's the biggest paying one that I know of, and we want to keep it that way, but we don't want to push it where it's too high.
IMCA modifieds, it's going to be $10,260. Officially, the winner comes Saturday night after 55 laps in its fourth year here at Skagit Speedway. What does it mean to you to see it grow from where it was year one to where it is now?
It's exciting, but it's a nervous wreck.
Okay.
And we also, this year, with the bonuses I put in together, you do know we're doing the $1,000
yep. bounty.
Bounty doing, yep. on the Oregon cars because they've won the first three. And then I have four $500 awards. So an actual hot car could come up here and win almost $14,000.
Wow.
That's unheard of in our class.
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't that long ago, a $1,000 race even back home in Iowa where the heartbeat of IMCA Modifieds is, that was a big deal. And shoot, now we're paying $1,000 weekly to win here, over $1,000 a lot of nights with bonuses. And then you've got the 55 that pays $10,000 to, over $10,000 to win now, $350 to start, which is incredible money. Even more than that now.
$500 to start.
So there you go. So more to start. So that's incredible. So it's been neat, Mel, and to bring the Modifieds back here to Skagit Speedway. And I think from last year to this year, I feel like the quality of racing that we've seen at Skagit Speedway on a week-to-week basis has really stepped up with the IMCA Modifieds. I feel like last year, to be frank, they really struggled to get their features done, the A-mains done in the 25-lap time frame. And this year, I think we've completed every one. And they've been good racing. We've had different winners. We had a new winner this week. It was cool to see Kevin Smith back in victory lane.
Yep.
You know, we saw Rick Smith in victory lane earlier this year in his second race back from open heart surgery. Cole Logan
has dominated. Yep.
Really stepped up to the scene. Jeff Westergaard's been fast. We've had different winners this year, which has been really fun to watch, Mel. And you've been a big part of that on getting all these guys back to Skagit and being big supporters of this place weekly. So we appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys letting me be here and helping it. And what I figured out from last year to this year, because we went to every driver, and I started getting personal. Who's setting your car up? What do you know? What do you do? So this year, we're not getting the spins. We're getting some finishes.
Yeah.
You're going to have trouble. But this whole class has stepped up. To me, we probably got 6 to 8 cars any night that could win.
100%. 100%.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a couple surprised me. The Smith guy.
Yeah, Roy Smith.
I don't know where he
dominated.
Came from. Well, what I've told all the drivers, and you guys might know this, if you got 10 races, 12 races, you're going to have two nights that your car will probably be hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the nights, and Roy Smith was hooked up.
Yeah, he was.
He was really
good.
Because
everybody was running for second, even my cars. It was great. I loved it.
What drew you to the IMCA Modifieds of everything else there is to, you know, want to latch on to? And I know you are. You're part of sprint cars and all that. But why do the Modifieds have what feels like such a dear place in your heart?
Well, we had the late models, and they wanted to start another class, and mm-hmm. I met the right people. So we bought two cars. We built a brand new car, and we had a 10-race series. I think Paul Lemley was – this was back in 97. Paul yeah. Lemley somehow got signed up with IMC. I have no idea. We had to do 10 races. So we had four local cars, and I had to go searching down south to get more cars.
Local of modified or late model?
Local late models.
Local late model.
And then we had four local because they killed the class later. But we started with the late models, and then I went to the modifieds because it was a new class. I had somebody who was going to build it. I was making good mm-hmm. money. And where can you get a championship with only 10 races? That was my idea. I got a chance to get a championship here. So we built the car. We won four out of the 10 races. But then I had to go get cars that were faster than me because I had a claimer motor, $1,200 motor, because you could claim them back.
Yep.
You still can. And, of course, I would finish second and third. No problem. I won the championship. And when we weren't, the late models really didn't have enough cars. We would run the modifieds with the late models. It was pretty cool because I had a little bit of a match problem with Mr. Lemley because at the championship night, we had ours done. I won the championship. Mm-hmm. I went home and set my car up like a East Coast modified. I had big tires on it. I came back for the late model championship, and there was a few people that objected. And we took care of that problem because I'd been there all year with you, helping you. And I didn't want to go to court, but we are going to race this car one way or another. So we did get to race it. My modified finished third against the late models. That's pretty good. I just went up on the high side, stayed out of everybody's way, and let them have fun. But that's where I started in 97. Then I left and moved away, and they dropped the late model class and the mm-hmm. modified class for quite a few years. Our old promoter, Steve Beitler, he brought the modifieds in, probably because he took over down south and they had modified, so he'd bring them 3, 4, 5 nights during mm-hmm. the season, and they had a couple champions. I think Craig Moore was one, and mm-hmm. maybe somebody else.
I think Craig mm-hmm. was 14, yep. I want to say.
And then when we the 410s dropped down to nothing a few years back,
yeah,
Beitler
2015
had it. And I had just moved back up and brought my two cars with me, and I just decided I was going to find out how many people were really interested in modifieds. I didn't go to Steve Beitler. That was probably a mistake, but anyway, I do my thing. So I put a little announcement out, and I had about 25, 30 people wanted to have a meeting, and I get a call from Mr. Beitler. And he's like, we need to talk seriously. And I'm like, okay. Well, it wasn't his idea, but so we worked out something, and we had the pizza thing. And what he said to me, he goes, you give me four cars in this valley, and I'll give you 10 races. I said, really? I said, okay. So I left that meeting with him, mm-hmm. went straight to Dan, the other speed shop that folded up here. Danny Kirkpatrick.
Kirkpatrick, yep.
I went to Danny and said, we got to go to Oregon. He goes, what? I said, I got to spend some of your money. We got to go buy two cars. So Danny and I went down. I had a buddy that was leaving. Mm-hmm. We bought both cars, came back. So now we got the four cars. We showed up at the meeting. They were already parked there. Mr. Beitler came in, had the meeting. Everything was good. He never mentioned the four cars. And all done, I just waited. I just raised my hand and said, we getting that 10 races? Sir, we got the four cars. He says, you're getting it. That's how it all started.
Okay.
And it was from there. It was, I've got the Smith boys back from the sprints, got them back in. I've probably sold a dozen cars. I've probably put trying to think of the number 75. His name is the young guy. He races. I put him in my car when I got hurt with my heart as a rookie, and he bought a car the next year. And then just like the rookie this year at one, I loaned him my trailer. I try to help out. If they can use the help and they're decent about it, I'll help them, mm-hmm. you know. But I'm going to cut way back this year. Next year is going to be a whole different ballgame. So next question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Eric knows Mel. Mel's a Washington IMCA modified state champion.
Yeah,
I don't know if I did know that, actually. Yeah.
1997, there was only one track that was Skagit. So technically, I was the first state
you
champion.
You were? I mean, it's in
and
the
I
record
said,
books, IMCA.com.
And I aggravate my buddy that owns Tyson Blood. Good, I sponsor his car, too. And 5 years in a row, he's got it.
He's
I have
tough.
I have something special.
He's even locked
to
be in this year, too.
Yeah, he's pretty pretty close. I'd have to look this – well, Sunday. Sunday was the last day, so I'd have to look. He was up last I was looking.
He's won the championship this year.
Yeah, so I mean,
his car will be on display up here.
I feel like things are going to get tougher. Our car count this year has been – some nights we've been on par with Grace Harbor, and that's where Grace Harbor kind of – they get the little bit of advantage on that state points as they get the car count bonus.
I think – we offer they run for 600. I'm just be point blank. They run for 600 a month, or 600 a race. We run for 1,000. And I've been trying to get Tyson up here, and I got a lot of friends here, and I sponsor a lot of cars here.
Yeah,
but I want the cars and I want the competition because that's how you build the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get the crowd to the races to watch the modifieds, you're not going to go nowhere. So we have to work at that. That's why I need good sprint car class to run with us so we can build this together, and that's what I'm looking at in the future, and we'll just see how it goes. But I'll do something tricky this year. I'm trying to get two or three of them guys down there. They can run. We only run 10 races this year.
Mm-hmm.
Where can you run for a championship for 10 races and still run down there? And I almost had Tyson's wife saying, you're going to run up there. He wanted to get his five in a row, which he's got.
Gotcha.
5 and 5. So I'm probably going to throw something out there to put a stumbling block. And so I'm going to get a couple more cars here, which is good. You do what you got to do.
Yeah, and our modifieds, we've been, especially lately, the last couple of races, our car count, I got a little nervous middle of the year, I'll admit, but it picked back up, and we've had some of those guys back the last couple of weeks, and they've ran really good, clean races, which has been good to see and hopefully a good stepping stone to a solid 2026. But, of course, this year, the fun thing about the 55 mil is we get a lot of the biggest names on the West Coast that come out and run for the money, which is neat to see those guys come and put on a show. And it's a good stepping or a good point for our guys to look to see where they are in the big grand scheme of things.
Well, that's why I put the $1,000 bonus up there, because I want some California cars.
Yeah, nice
I personally know Bobby Hogue should be up here.
I'd like to get Paul Stone up here.
I made phone calls down there. There's about 5 cars down there that I want up here. And if I have to do it some kind of series to get them up here, we'll figure on doing it. But we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah.
Every year, let's put it this way. Since we started, this will be the fourth year, we have the highest car count of any race at Skagit Speedway. Any big, even your big races. We've had 53 or 54 is the highest count. The sprint cars haven't brought that many. So we're setting with the cars. We just need to get the quality better and get the seats full. That's our goal.
I mean, I was watching the A-Main from the 55 last Saturday, and it's a darn good race. I'm sorry, I haven't seen it the past 3 years, so I had to go back to school, but I mean, everything I've heard about it, it's so good. And I mean, just watching the race last year, that A-Main, that 55 laps, Tom Berry Jr.,
Kyle Strickler,
were really fun to watch. It's a good race. I'm excited for this year.
Well, the driver of the 13 car the year before,
Fernando.
Unbelievable. I mean, he had a rough year the first year. We had a big problem. We got all that fixed. John Benedetti won, blah, blah, blah. But
he won year, and then
John Benedetti won the first year.
Fernandez
won the second year. And that was the problem the first year. So it all works out. And I'm just a tickler of this. Treat the officials good, and drivers and owners and pit crews stay out of the other spots where you don't belong, because mm-hmm. I have no problem telling them, you're out of here. Here's your money. I'll get you a set of tickets. Come on up here and watch one hell of a race. Because these people work their butts off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And for them to sit there and have to put up with garbage, I have a short fuse.
And Saturday night's going to be neat because we got more than racing. You got, I don't know how much you can say, but we'll have some special awards on Saturday that are going to be really cool. And you're going to have some neat names back out at the racetrack that maybe people haven't seen in a while, which is going to be neat. And hopefully fans can come out and see some, you know, some Skagit Speedway, some legends of Skagit Speedway that have been here a long time and put in a lot of hours, whether behind the seat or as an official.
Well, basically, we're officially going to announce it right here that I've had 4 awards that are one step below the Hall of Famers.
Okay.
And the Hall of Famers, I'm not happy and pleased, but I'll be right up because we've been racing in this track for 75 years. In my opinion, you take the first 20 years out, that leaves 55 years. You take 2 a year. How many is that? 110.
Yep.
We have what? 20?
Well, we got to get there, Melvin.
24. I'm just saying, we've had time to get. Not us.
Oh, I
I'm looking at, because we had so many different promoters, it wasn't the top thing. And I get hit up every day. When are we going to build a museum? When are we going to do that? So this, after this season, I'm going to start collecting stuff. We're going to get a box up here, and we'll start collecting stuff. But let's get back to the, we're going to call it the Mel Decker Racing Award. It's a beautiful award that we're being made up right now.
It is
for four
beautiful.
People.
It's really, it looks
you
really nice.
You showed us the drawings.
Yep. It'll be a surprise to everybody. And I started off with two.
Okay.
And then everybody, I talked to personal people, and I go, man, this is a living legend. I don't want, if they're dead, they don't get it. If they're a Hall of Famer, you don't get it. So I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do Kirby, first one. We're going to do the Ash family. That's a whole family, second one. We're going to do Tim Levine. He's been a builder, an owner, a driver in all the divisions, been a champion. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at their health, their age, and what we're looking at. And then I got approached from Mr. Doyle Guffey, who we voted to put in a couple years ago. That was one of the first ones I got the vote on and stuff, and we talked about it. And with him and Dick Smith. And there's a man named Richard Bosch. I personally don't know him. I probably know him by sight because I'm not a sprint car guy. Mm-hmm. He's pushed up here for 30-some years. And he, how do I say this? He's on his last leg. So we're going to bring him up here and give him an award. So those four people have probably got 175, maybe 200 years up here. That's a lot of years.
Yes, it is.
So I call them legends. So that's what I'm going to do till the day I die, and I hope the Skagit Speedway takes it over. Just like if I can keep this race going. Because my daughter will be all over Mr. John when I'm gone. Yeah, we got to have to change
this. Don't be leaving
this.
Us anytime soon.
Oh, no.
You're not going
anywhere.
You're not
rushing.
No.
And just because they're getting a Living Legend Award this year doesn't mean they can't go in the Hall of Fame in
no,
five
no,
years. It's
no.
just if you're
right.
already in the Hall of Fame,
right.
you're not eligible.
Right,
so
right.
just because you get this award doesn't mean you're not eligible for
right,
the Hall of Fame
in,
you know, next year, 2 years, five
yep.
years. So I just want to make that clear. But
nope.
you just you would pretty much, if you were in the Hall of Fame, then you weren't eligible for this award at this point. Which
because
is great.
You've already got the
yeah.
top award.
You've already,
yeah,
exactly.
And you're well known. You're already a legend. And basically, the ones that are alive today help me make the decision on the legends.
And on Saturday, Mel, you've got you've got more than that. Just second, we got the big truck show again this year too.
Yep, the truck show.
Are you bringing your bump truck out for that?
No, I'm going to bring
Mel.
My little red Jeep's coming out. But
right. What about the bring the?
John asked me to get
samurai.
A lot of fire trucks, so I got fire trucks coming for the kids.
Bring the samurai.
I'm going to bring the little Suzuki Sidekick will
yeah.
be here.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I thought it was a samurai.
I haven't personally concentrated on the truck show.
Yeah, I know that you pass that
next
off.
Next year I am. I have a guy taking care of it. But that truck show could turn into a big show moneymaker for this valley. There's nothing in the Northwest that has heavy-duty trucks and equipment where they bring their salesmen's tents up here.
Mm-hmm.
All that money could go towards the big race for whatever sprint car modifieds we have here. That's an income. You don't have to charge a lot, but we need to build it to that. And I can't believe how much it takes just to do the 55.
Oh, it takes a lot.
I mean, I drive all the way down to Oregon and promote this, and that's money out of my pocket. I don't make a dime, but it takes time. And when you're 77 years old and you're driving full time for Pack Trucking, little plug. he put his money in.
Well, he got a championship this weekend.
Oh, I want to talk about that.
All right.
He beat my car by 1 point. And his driver thought he had 5 points. His driver wasn't pushing. He was riding there. He did not know it was that close. I found that out today. I said, your driver didn't know? He goes, no. I said, there's 1 point difference.
Mm-hmm.
That could have changed. But he earned it. He worked for it. And
yeah.
Jacob. He's a good kid. I'll be with him next year. And
he's going to move up, I think. Sounds like going to maybe be
I
moving
think,
up to the
well,
360
you,
Jane Whitney.
Did you notice how he drove a little different?
Yeah.
That's from driving that 360 the week before.
Yeah.
Mm.
Night before.
He said, if I can go in there with a 360, I can. And the guy that won the championship said the same thing. By driving the 360s, it gave him that little bit of speed extra on the sporty.
Yeah,
so it really
it
does help to jump up a class, even
yeah.
if you're only going to do
mm-hmm.
it for a week or two.
Yeah, you know? I mean, our top
yeah,
three all drove a 360 at
yep.
some point this year.
Yep.
You know, the winner in second place drove the 360 the night before, and Steven drove a 360 at 360 Nationals. And I think we're going to see all three of them in a 360 full-time next
yep.
year, which is exciting. And the Sporties are a growing class. They've 29 cars at our weekly show last night, the highest I've seen it, and I've got back to 2005. So that's and you're a part of the Sportsman Sprint class too. You've got several cars out there that you partner with, which is great.
It's I've got one car at minimum in each class, and then I have one at Deming, and then I have the state and track champion Tyson at Alma.
Grace Harbor. Yep.
Grace Harbor. I call it Elma. It's Grace
Harbor.
Yeah. I guess you could call it Elma because I worked with Fred Brownfield here. I quit racing. Fred Brownfield called me when he took the track over.
Okay.
And I got back into the one season I was the race director. That's when I started working with Kirby. And he got me back into racing. Fred did.
Really?
Super guy.
So he's the one we get to blame.
Oh, he's – yeah, I was done. I've quit twice. This is the third time and I'm retired. So, and I had a chance this year to have a brand-new car, total ride, and I
– You turned it down.
I took
in a modified?
Yeah, I know. I was all excited because we were going to see Mel Decker back in the seat. Yeah. And all I heard all winter long was, I'm going to race, I'm going to race, I'm going to race.
I had to look at it.
Then the week before, he tells me, no, I'm not going to race.
So I'm working on a special deal. I'm not going to say anything right now, but – I won't drive a car. I would drive it if there's a championship race or something. But, no, these young kids are doing good. And we need kids in the stands because that's the future racing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to – and I did not like it when all the young kids started coming here because I'm like, I never got that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You had to have a driver's license when I started or you weren't racing. You had to actually had a driver's license. It was crazy. Now –
Now you can be 14, 5 years old, 15 four or five.
Years old. Well, but they start over here in the little ones. I never had
four
that.
Or five,
yep,
yeah.
Yep. I'm going to step up and pick up a little kid over there too. That's a pretty neat little track too.
Yeah.
But kids is where the future's at.
Oh, 100%. If you don't have the young talent, you're not going to go anywhere.
Nope.
Everyone.
Yeah, they're racing. I mean, shoot, the quarter midget club, they got 12 nights on the schedule, something
and
like
no
that.
No fear.
Yeah.
Them teenagers, no fear.
Mel, you've put so much work into this event. People who want to help you, how can they find you to help you?
Well, my daughter, I can't do this without my daughter. I'll just put a plug in right now. So she does the Facebook. I have a way of screwing the Facebook up and a computer. So she handles my Facebook. I can't do nothing on Facebook. I have my own Facebook, Mel Decker, but she has Mel Decker Racing. And she does it all. Repeat the question.
Where can people find you if they want to help you?
It'd be under Mel Decker Racing.
Mel Decker Racing.
And hit the like button. Or everybody knows me. I can't go no place in this valley. I can't hide in this valley.
Well, I saw him. I went to the Eagles last Monday, and Mel was there.
Did you?
Mel was there holding court.
Yeah.
You were at the Eagles.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
he had to
trivia,
do that game.
The trivia with the Blumenhagens.
How'd you do?
I don't we got fourth, I think. But Mel was there holding court. He wasn't playing trivia. And
I was hoping
to go chat with him after, and Mel dipped out of there before it was even over. He was done holding court.
Talk about the work that it takes for you guys. These people in the stands and the racers, most of them have no idea what it takes to open this gate and put this show on. I've learned so much from here and John.
John's good.
Oh, I have too.
I've learned so much business from him. And he comes to approach. He's not a racer.
Nope.
He's a businessman. Mm-hmm. So I'm a racer. So I come with the racer's approach. And he goes, let's talk the money approach. And I'm like, I'm not going to win this argument. I can already tell. He's so cool. He's so good about it. But he lets me do what I want to do. And he trusts me. And I won't screw that up, which is pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
You know. So what it takes to open this up and to run the speedway, I was impressed when we went from a two-day show to the one night on Friday on our second show. Wasn't our second night yet.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
And we paid full everything for a one-night show. That does not happen with promoters. Trust me, they got talked from other promoters about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we did, and my theory
you
was,
full burst,
we had the money. I went to the sponsor, and I said, what do you want to do? He goes, they're here. They traveled. Let's give them the money. And we did it. So we got a two-day show package into a one-day, and you got paid everything. Nobody complained.
No.
If you were in your right mind, you didn't complain.
Yeah, Mother Nature, obviously.
Mother Nature took over.
Tilt the hand that weekend, and I think Skyjack did a phenomenal job bouncing back out of that.
Yep. Yep, we put a lot of races on. We got through it.
Showed the teams they'll get it in for you, if you're, especially if you're making the long trip up here.
Yeah, it's. I love the modifieds. When I ran a late model, we are now turning better times with the modifieds than we ever turned with late models because of the suspension.
Yeah.
We run a 9.5-inch tire, 9.25-inch tire. I do more with that car than I could do with a late model back then. Now, the late models today are phenomenal because you got that 4-bar suspension.
Mm-hmm.
And the tires, they eat up tires. The late models today, the tires cost a lot and the motors cost a lot. That's why I like the modifieds. You can buy a car and it's good for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two people right now hounding me to buy cars. So we're every year they're, you know, and to me, I look at them and said, show me your budget because I haven't got time otherwise. Because you got to call these people. I got to have somebody go look at the car, make sure it's good to go. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
It's honest work.
Yeah, it's an honest work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. We're getting there.
I think it'll be good. We've really climbed the ladder mm-hmm. in the modified class. I told them all. I went down and shook everybody's hand, including some people I don't get along. I shook everybody's hand.
You don't get along with people?
Certain people, you get one shot with me.
We've learned that. Yeah.
I help you one time, and if you don't help yourself, there's other people that need help. That's just my philosophy. It doesn't mean I don't like it, but you know what? Somebody else can help you. You know what I'm saying?
It's not easy getting that funding from Mel Decker.
The truck show is going to be technically 10 to 6. I'm going to say it's 10 to 4 and everybody leaves. And then I'm hoping to have a couple machines up here where the kids can play in it, but I got fire trucks coming. John asked for fire trucks. I talked to the fire department. And I'm going to try to get some more big trucks. Okay. Next year, I'm going to really work on the truck show because I want to build that. That is a moneymaker, and it's separate from the race. Rain or shine, that truck show goes. We learned that the second year. So they're going to do their own thing. I got the new plaques made up, and we'll just go from there.
Uh-huh.
Anybody
big puts truck show.
Yep, big truck and heavy equipment.
Yep.
And there's nothing.
Semis, heavy equipment. We had it all last year.
Low boys.
Tractors.
We had a lot. Yep. So I would like to see 100 trucks out here. Kids love trucks.
Mel loves trucks.
Mel drives the truck, and that's enough.
I think Mel should bring his bump truck.
I'm bringing my dump truck in the trailer because
you could put the Suzuki in the
boss don't even know this. I'm going to borrow the flatbed trailer, take it over to the corner tavern, park it so they can use it for a band because our competition this week, guess what it is? The Oyster Run.
Mm.
That's our competition. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'm helping out a bar on Sunday because my Friday and Saturday, I'm hoping we're done.
I didn't realize you went to too many bars.
No. I can't tell you why I go to this one, okay?
Melvin.
My daughter's going to listen to this. Oh, God. Ay, ay, ay.
Anyways, moving on from that one.
I just set the trap, Mel.
Uh-huh.
You're the mouse.
Uh-huh. I'm a rat.
You should take the cheese. Oyster Run. I mean, that Oyster Run's it could be a blessing and a curse.
From the
standpoint of a lot of extra people are in the area, so if we can go get them out here.
Well, you want a short story?
Sure.
I know your short story.
I'm a short story. Short story.
Short story.
Start the timer now.
I have my tickets. I get them when I put my $1,000 in.
Yep.
I go to the sports gig and have breakfast. Great place to have breakfast.
What do you have there?
Breakfast. Breakfast, we call it. Don't start. I'm a New Yorker. You don't want to mess with a New Yorker. So I pull in, and as I pull in, the cars all park out front. There's this red Harley out by the sidewalk where you back out, and I'm looking at that thing. Okay, so I walk in, and there's a big motorcycle group. I have no idea who they are. I walk over and said, who's Red Harley? They go, mine. I said, I just want to warn you. I've watched two motorcycles get knocked over here. The people back out, they don't know there's anybody behind them. He went and moved it. So I go sit down with Ronald Well, and we're having a breakfast, and I get my tickets out. So I walk down, and I say, hey, and you guys want to go to Skagit tonight? The two of them. The lady stands up. She goes, yeah, I'll go. And the other biker guy says, I'll go. So I said, how many do you need? She goes, four. She had her and her husband and two older kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her four tickets, gave him two tickets. I'm sitting there. It was the Bandinos. Banditos?
Yeah.
Nice people. I got along great with them.
They got their clubhouse just up the road from us.
Yeah. And it was like, I heard so much bad stuff, but they're good. Everybody's got good and bad.
Yeah.
My life philosophy is.
You could be a Bandito, Mel.
I won't ride a motorcycle because of one reason, the throttle. I learned a long time ago, I don't ride motorcycles.
Heavy hand?
Heavy hand is not the word. And there's not a roll cage around me, and nope. I ain't doing it. That's a short story.
Better to be smart.
But they all showed up, a whole bunch of them. Yeah. Came up and seen me, introduced themselves, it shook my hand. That was pretty cool. When you get people walk up and give you money, it's kind of crazy. You know, I helped out a sprint car, mm-hmm. one of mine. Bought a couple tires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had someone walk up and say, here's $1,000. I don't want my name on. Just put it in the race and do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. So he's paying for $500 in the purse, for the B-Main purse, towards the B-Main. Yep. He's paying $500 for a longest toe. It's wow. amazing.
Yeah.
And don't want no recognition. It's pretty cool when somebody will give you that kind. They got to trust you. So I have a good reputation, you know, which I'm proud of. And I've got in trouble in the past. I learned, you know, if you want something, you work for it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't steal it. You work for it. And I'm a whole different guy than I was when I was a young kid. Crazy.
You're crazy.
Time changes a lot.
I've changed way a lot. Oh, yeah. My mother made sure of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you embarrassed my mother. It didn't go good. Yeah, I was on the name headlines. That don't go good. In a little town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
Schenectady, New York.
Okay.
Schenectady.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
No offense.
Big time it's racing. It's called Tri-Cities. You got Schenectady, Troy, and Albany.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I know
that's
Albany.
That's Tri-City.
Lebanon Valley out there. Howard Commander.
Fonda, Lebanon Valley. I drove Albany, Saratoga.
Canandaigua?
Yep.
Weedsport.
Watertown. Syracuse.
Oswego on pavement?
No, but I ran a modified on that road course. What's it called? Watkins Glen. We put modifieds on there. One year we had a ball. I only ran a couple years. It was great. And all my friends, I'm going to say I've got six or eight when I started racing, they're all Hall of Famers. People like Jack Johnson. Jumping Jack Johnson, good friend. Yep. Lou Lazaro, C.D. Cole, Superman. Unbelievable. What years were you there, Mel? I have to look up, but I flew back in C.D. Cole while I drove his backup car. Had a ball. Hadn't been
like
there.
Hearn. Brett Hearn. Oh, yeah. He was
been Decker. 900. Decker was there. There's another Decker.
Yep. Billy Decker.
Romano's. There's so many famous names. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the killer right there.
Not all of them. Jack Johnson was racing up to
he's
a
He's gone.
Year.
No, he's gone.
Yeah, you know, a couple years ago.
I know. Brett Hearn's doing great.
A couple. He promotes at Orange County. I don't know if he's still there or not. But
Middletown.
Yeah, that
there's
Orange
so
County.
Many tracks. Devil's Bowl. I love Devil's Bowl.
Oh, Devil's Bowl in Vermont.
I got to drive a track championship car, 22, my number, flew in. C.D. Coble had his new car. And I helped out, and the boss says, who are we going to put in this car? You just loaded me. He goes, put him in. You got nothing to lose. I'm like, I wasn't ready for that. So I got in the car. We did a hell of a job. It was a 100-lapper. I finished 12th. CD rolled over and smashed, cracked up, and I pulled the car and hoping he'd get in. He goes, no, you finished the race. And I drove that car sort of like, I'm going to say like the guys in the Sporties did until they got into 360.
Okay.
I stayed there, and the first car went by. The leader went by. Second place leader went by. And I said, okay. I hooked on to the third place car. I passed the third place car, got into second.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now the third place car, I'm a lap down for the first two cars.
Yeah.
But I learned how to drive it. It was that when you push yourself past that point, that was worth my whole racing career right there.
Really?
Just to do that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. These guys are semi-pros. They run 4 or 5 nights a week back there.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world. Wow. But I love racing. Done with it now, though. A little fishing.
Well, now you fish.
I'm going to start fishing Sunday.
Oh, taking up a new habit this week.
I haven't fished in 35 years.
Where are you going to go fishing
back?
Anywhere I can go. I don't care if it's a garbage can. My bobber sits there and I can have a beer.
All right.
We're good. I just want to get the race over with.
Yep. I won't say it, but it's looking good.
Yes.
I'm not going to jinx anything. No, it's looking good. It's looking really good. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I'd love a 2-day nice race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a lot of stuff planned. I got stuff we haven't. We have Superior Fuel Cells. Give me a brand new fuel cell.
Mm-hmm.
Triple X, Speedmart, Mr. Joe's. What's Joe's?
Joe Constance?
No, Joe's.
Joe's Racing Products?
Racing Products. Those three are going to give me product. Okay. So I haven't decided how we're going to do that. So one thing I haven't decided. If we're going to have a drawing, going to sell tickets, I don't know. But that's all going to go towards, if we sell any ticket, all that money goes to the track, and all the product will go to the racers. So we got a pretty good thing going.
That's really cool, though.
It's going to be good.
I think it's going to be one of the best years.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I'm excited. Yeah. No one confirmed any big names that you know are maybe potentially going to head this way?
No, but I didn't know about the last big names until 4 days before the race.
All right.
So I heard in the grapevine that...
I think none of this is confirmed.
No,
and like
this is all hearsay. A Moran, a late model guy from the East Coast.
Okay.
His brother's really famous. I just heard that.
Might be coming.
Might be coming. But you know what? They don't tell you on purpose. You got to think about these guys. They don't want the other drivers coming. So they don't say nothing. They just get on an airplane, show up here, and get in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I made the longest tow. You got to tow the car. I'm not paying somebody who comes from
to
New
fly
York. It, just because you fly here and get in a new car. You got to tow that car. So the longest towing car is going to get $500.
All right.
You know, the best appearing crew is going to get $500. I'm trying to get another $500 together, working on the fastest lap on Saturday. Because we can
in the
track
main event?
That. Nope.
No.
For the whole night. The whole night. The fastest lap, $500. You never know. Huh? That's what I'm working on. I'm trying to raise that right now. So it's just stuff to help the racers.
Yeah.
For sure. That's good. It all helps build us the event. And, you know, we're getting there. Like I said, I've said it many times. I feel like we're heading in the right direction with the modifieds here. And you're a big part of that. You've put a lot into it, and we greatly appreciate it, Mel.
Can't thank you enough.
Yeah, well, I love it. It's a lot of work. I didn't realize how much work it was.
We got to keep you young.
It ain't going to be no young. But it is what it is. And, you know, you need, I won't say leaders, you need people with passion. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the ones that have passion when you walk through the pits. You guys interview enough. You can tell someone with passion or someone that just gets along. You need passionate people to build this sport, period.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. And you're one of the most passionate that
I've
ever seen.
Well, I guess. I'm pretty passionate about the racing. And now I stepped up. I'm not really passionate about the money you guys put in these sprint cars. I bought them two tires. It was $846. I go, oh, you get it.
Not the money we put into sprint cars, the money it costs to run a sprint car.
Yeah.
That's
like,
what you mean. Yes.
And you're gonna
put good money for this.
He goes, well, I'll run those tires in the main, and then maybe I can get a heat race. And I'm like, two races?
Yep.
$900? Oh, my gosh.
My front tires, you'll get maybe four.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the front tires. But them back tires, this track isn't as bad as Elma. Elma really needs some. Yeah. But I've learned a lot. I've got a couple people from each class. It's really been good. I'm going to have them all lined up Saturday. I'm getting a professional picture. I ask my people all to show up, whether they're racing or not, because it's more or less my farewell to me putting hard cash out. I'm going to do the $100 who's ever on my card.
Yeah.
Next year, I think I'm going to hand out stickers to anybody who wants them, if I agree with it. And if they finish first, second, third, they get a $100 bill. That's a pretty good deal for a semi-retired guy. I mean, I have my Social Security, takes care of everything. But my working is where my goes to the racing.
Yeah.
But I got to slow down. I'm getting up there. I got to slow down.
Yeah.
My daughter's all over me about that. Trust me, if you know my daughter.
Well, Mel, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We look forward. It's going to be a good two nights of racing here at Sketch Buse, from 26th and 27th for Survive the 55. And we can't thank you enough for how much hard work you've put into putting this event on. And I'm really excited for it.
Well, I hope it goes good.
Thank you, sir.
Do good.
Yeah.
And we'll just have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be
a good time.
We'll
see how it goes.
Perfect.
Well, signing off.
Thanks, Mel.
Welcome back, everyone. Great chat with Mel Decker there, talking about Survive the 55. We kick it all off tomorrow night with heat races and all sorts of stuff tomorrow night in the CGE Garage Midgets. And Saturday, we line them up and cut them loose. And 55-lap A-main to end the night, chasing $10,260 to the winner, the highest-paying modified race on the West Coast and certainly one of the highest-paying IMC modified races in the country. We talked about at the top of the show, expanded purse $500 to start the A-main, which is great for the IMCA modifies because there's a lot of tracks in the country that don't even pay $500 to win an IMCA modified A-main, and we're paying $500 to start.
Which is so mind-boggling.
It is. It's
modified
crazy.
Modified racing doesn't pay more.
It's that's a big race for the IMC Modified. Yeah. So we should have a good field of them. We're expecting a good field. The entries are starting to flow in. I feel like every day we get a couple more. And they can still show up and race.
Yeah.
It just the pre-entry gets them, you know, saves them a couple minutes and saves us a bunch of time on Friday. But the entries are flowing in, as well as the midgets and 360 entries. We opened that up just to kind of get an idea of what we're going to have with them. And I'm expecting a good field of midgets. And 15 to 20 360s, I'd say. I think last year we had like 19. So I know a couple drivers are on vacation and stuff playing because it's non-points. But that'll be fun. So it's going to be a good weekend of racing here. Mel Decker, we got the big giant truck show. And I know Mel's working hard. Talked with him this morning about he's making phone calls to get a bunch of trucks out here for the big truck show on Saturday morning, which will be neat if you're looking for something to do on Saturday before the races. We've got a big truck show out here. Lots of fire trucks. Kids can come out and enjoy, see those. So Mel's working hard on getting that. I know he said he was on the phone pretty much all day yesterday calling trucking companies to get big trucks out here. So that's just another little wrinkle into Survive the 55 weekend here at Skagit Speedway that makes it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, there's going to be countless things going around the track. And, come watch the highest paying modified race on the West Coast. And up from 10,000 last year, Tom Barry Jr. And when cutting some of the highlights is, man, what a phenomenal race that was last year. That was three wide, him and the high side tickler, Kyle Strickler, battling it out. That was a really fun 55 laps.
It was. It goes quick. They put on a good show. They really do. It's, get our weekly guys and then get a lot of the West Coast modified guys make their way up here. But it's the last opportunity to come to Skagit Speedway in 2025. The season is coming to a close quickly, and this is our final weekend of racing, which is sad. But I think the weather's going to work out perfect looking at the weather for next week. It looks like Monday the faucet turns on and gray and wet weather is here. So
get your last
thank you, Mother Nature, for being so nice to us. It looks like the weather's going to be beautiful this weekend. Looking at the websites that we use online, I mean, they're all showing sunny and maybe cloudy on Saturday, but 0% chance of rain on everything that we use here at Skagit. So hopefully that holds true.
Yeah, Blake told me my iPhone weather
doesn't count. We'll throw that out the window. We have a lot of years using that, and that's about the most unpredictable weather app you can find. But it's easy. It's on our phone, so what do you do? But it should be a great weekend here, and get your tickets online on skagitspeedway.com. Or you can buy them at the ticket office on Friday or Saturday night. But it's going to be a good weekend, great way to cap off a phenomenal season of racing at Skagit Speedway. I feel like, Eric, we started the season, you were still in college. You had to go back to Arizona to graduate, and now you're back here a full-time employee and closing out your first season at Skagit, which is exciting.
It's been fun, Blake. We've done a lot of fun things, and I look forward to the off season and
scraping the tip of the iceberg now on things we can do here at Skagit with you and really expand our media coverage, and we'll stay active on social media throughout the winter. So keep an eye on some things that Eric's got up his sleeve for coming at you there and here on the podcast. But we'll still stay active at Skagit Speedway. And before we know it here, we'll have our schedule released. That'll probably come out sometime before Christmas.
Yeah.
We usually like to get through the winter meetings with other racetracks, and then tickets will go on sale, I would imagine, right after the new year, somewhere in that time frame. That's where we're usually trying to be, is in January time frame. And we'll be opening things up in the spring of 2026 and ready to roll.
Yeah. You mentioned High Limit. High Limit gates dates confirmed again already this year. It'll be the same time as last year over that.
Last weekend in August, we'll have them back. We already did confirm that for Skagit Nationals. That'll be August 27, 28, 29 of 2026.
So tickets not available yet to buy, but the dates are confirmed. So
yeah, we'll have
your plans now.
Late winter, we'll probably release tickets for that, renewals and stuff, I would say. February, March. Last year, I think it was March 3rd, we got them off the ground. But we'll see if we can push that forward a little bit. Obviously, we're trying, but there's a lot of balls up in the air that we've got to get handled before we can get tickets going, because we want to make sure everything's good and solidified before we get that going. But no, it's going to be a great year of racing next year. We've already got some plans rolling for next year, especially on our major events, and we'll get things rolling on the weekly racing and have a schedule out before we know it. And we'll get posts going about recaps on the year. I'm planning to do the driver recaps each day like we did last winter on some stats, and then before we know it, we'll have a post out that it's 100 days to the season starts. And I feel like last year when we hit 100 days, it was like boom, 70 days, and then boom, 40 days, and then Jeff's turning the water back on, working the racetrack. We're getting the bathrooms cleaned up and ready to go, and we're off to off and racing. No pun intended. But it was—it's been a great season.
It has been.
We'll finish off strong this weekend with a good 55, and we'll be back next week with an episode of On the Gas. And shoot, Tulare Trophy Cup's kind of next for us at Skagit, and head down there and see what they've got going there. Might going to be my first Trophy Cup, so I'm excited to see that event. It's always kind of it has been, I'd say, the number one event on my bucket list to get to. So I'm excited to check that off. And off season quickly approaching. I ironically just got my email here for Chili Bowl and Tulsa Shootout. So that'll be Caleb Hart texted me and said, did you get the email? I said, yep. So Caleb and I will be back doing Shootout and Chili Bowl on Flow.
Awesome.
So if you're looking
for
some
watching that,
yeah, you'll be able to watch in the office. I know Lisa had it on during the office last year. So that makes the day go by a little quicker for you. I would imagine if you can have Chili Bowl racing on at 1 in the afternoon in Tulsa Shootout. Shoot, we start racing before you even get to work, and you get to work early.
That's my favorite part about the Tulsa Shootout. I can wake up and pretty much turn on racing and watch until I go to bed practically.
We start racing at like 7 a.m. here. I think 9 o'clock we start first heat races. But, I mean, shoot, I got to enjoy watching the Shootout the last handful of years because I do my announcing notes during Shootout for Chili Bowl. Now I don't have the opportunity, so now that kind of cramps my schedule a little bit more that I have to find a lot of hours because it's well north of 40, 50 hours doing prep work for Chili Bowl.
Do you prep? How do you do your prep? I mean, we can talk about this later, but what do you do for every driver?
Try to have a note on all 300 drivers.
Just at least one.
Have something on it. Okay. At least one small note on every driver. And honestly, I probably use 5% of it. But
I
want to be able to use, if guy wins a heat race, I want to be able to say something like he drives an IMCA modified or if he gets in a crash. And I didn't get to use as much of them on Flow last year as I did when I was doing the PA announcing because it just there's six of us announcing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like to have something on everyone in case the guy does something. I can talk about the tracks he races and you know what he does,
because he deserves it.
Be able to
give
some tracks some extra pub on Flow Racing, which we like to help grow the sport, and maybe some people see some things that they want to go check out. I know that a track back home has reaped the benefits of being on Flow Racing for the last 5-6 years, and that's Marshalltown Speedway. That I tell Jerry, the promoter, all the time, if you were on another platform that didn't have as a diverse variety, you would just be the same Marshalltown Speedway you've been my entire life.
Yeah.
But now that you're on Flow, you hit everybody under the moon in racing and get a big, diverse audience watching that don't normally watch stock cars and modifieds, but do because you have a reputation. So hopefully we see Marshalltown Speedway stay on Flow Racing. Jerry Van Sickle, make it happen. Jerry, I'll stay on him about it because I like to be able to watch Marshalltown every Friday night when I can if I'm not up at Deming.
If you're able to confirm, are you going to go back to the dome?
Yeah. I ironically just got a text this morning from Dylan at Crewing, and I've got a couple things I've got to work out. But right now I plan to be back at the dome.
Sweet.
I haven't missed one yet. So
I enjoy watching that one too. That's
dome
always
is
a
chaos.
Fun one.
That is
controlled chaos. Well, I don't know if that's controlled.
Chaos.
Yeah,
it's as controlled as we can possibly make it. That's for sure. I mean, some of my wildest interviews have come out of the dome, that's for sure. But it's one of those events that when I get there, it really energizes me.
Yeah.
I mean, I get to work with Ben and Dustin. Those two, they're like, I mean, they've been huge for Michael Rigsby, that's the president of Flow Racing, owned Dirt on Dirt. I mean, few people have been as big for my career as Michael, and I get to catch up with him and then get to work with my good buddy Trenton Barry, who owns Race and Dirt, and they host all the USMTS modified races on their racing platform. And Trenton is one of my favorite human beings on the entire earth. I end up rooming with him and he ends up giving me a ride to the airport. And that's like 30 minutes where we can just talk everything but racing. We talk sports the entire time because he's a big sports guy. So it's fun to catch up with him, and it's a good group. And it's a lot of people I get to see once a year. And I was very, the first 2-3 years there, I did all the Flow Racing Night in America races. So I got to kind of get into the late model community, and now I just get to see them once a year. So that's what I enjoy about the dome. And they bring all the cool wraps out, the modified guys, the late model guys, the Christmas wraps, and it's the first week of December. Cody just signed a multi-year extension with the dome because there last year we thought next year might be the last one because the dome's constantly remodeling and getting repurposed, but they ended up signing another couple of years. So we've got at least a few more years of the dome, but that makes December and January go much quicker for me.
Yeah.
when I can, you know, be gone for 3 days there doing the dome. And I think it's, I told John Hager, our GM, it's a great opportunity to be able to talk Skagit on a big scale because, mm-hmm. I mean, the dome last year, I think, was the second or third most viewed race on Flow Racing last year. And we talk Skagit quite a bit on there and get to give a lot of pub for Skagit. Chili Bowl was the most watched broadcast on Flow Racing last
Saturday
year.
Saturday Chili Bowl?
Caleb and I talk Skagit every day.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a great way for us to be able to promote Skagit Speedway and get to a broader audience. And I even talked to a couple folks that, you know, planned on coming to Skagit. My buddy Jason Rominger, who is a late model guy, when I came up here and he learned about Skagit, he came up to Skagit Nationals last year,
oh, did he?
Had a blast. He's not even a big sprint car guy. Had a blast, came back this year.
Awesome.
Bought tickets again. And, I mean, it was neat to see and just heard us talking about Skagit at the Dome and started looking it up and then decided he wanted to come watch High Limit up here, and Jason decided to come back. So that was neat to see that, you know, it's working.
Yeah.
And it's a good way for us to continue to grow because we're on – it's a little harder being on the West Coast.
Oh,
you know,
it is.
In the time zone that we're
especially
in.
Especially in Washington, you know.
We're in Washington. We're, you know, 3 hours behind the mm-hmm. East Coast, and sometimes we get a little forgotten out here. But we're really making strides on making sure that people don't forget us. And a lot of that is a lot of the video work that you're starting to put out that we're seeing our YouTube channel. It's grown nearly 200% this year.
I say there's the biggest thing. Like, we won't be live on YouTube this weekend, but you can watch
we'll
all our
content.
Past races on YouTube. You can get a lot of content. And that's the one thing I think that's helped a lot is that time difference is you've talked about it. When we're getting going at 7, the East Coast is kind of wrapping
slowing
up. And
down.
If they want some late night racing to watch, the same way you can watch late night college football on the East Coast, you can watch late night Skagit Speedway. That's the main thing. All my friends I talk to who move here, they're like, man, I miss staying up till midnight 1 a.m. watching football, NFL.
I have not been shy about my views on this time zone. That's for sure.
No, he hasn't.
If Caleb Hart's listening, once again, we'll know
because
he'll text me. But yeah, I'll be honest. I hate this time zone.
Yeah.
It's the worst sports watching time zone. I've lived in the East Coast lived in the Eastern time zone for 12 years. I lived in the Central time zone for more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst sports watching time zone. 100%. It's not close.
Yeah.
East, okay. I mean, the nice thing about East and Central, say you're a football fan, you can get up, you can go to lunch, and you can get that knocked out and come home and watch sports.
Yeah.
And then you go to dinner and you can come back and watch Sunday night football. Here, the first set of games is getting over in the middle of lunch. The second set starts
mm-hmm.
after lunch, so you have no lunch break unless you want to miss, you know, to go
cook
lunch.
You eat at home there.
Yeah, but I'm saying to cook lunch, and then
Sunday
football,
pretty much kicks
at
right
5 o'clock,
time, yeah.
right? And you can't really eat during that. And then Monday night football, we're at work when Monday night football. I mean, we're 3 weeks in, and I haven't watched a snap of Monday night football yet.
I've seen some of the ends of it, but yeah, especially with the two games and one starts at
four. Yeah,
it's practically done by 6, and
I hate this time zone. I'll be
honest. Here's the other thing that doesn't help it: the Vikings play over overseas.
London,
it's at like 6:30.
Germany. They're in Germany. Germany.
It's
they were Germany last year.
Yeah, they've got two. It's London and then Dublin.
Dublin.
Isn't Dublin the first one?
They were Germany last year because I was coming back from France last year when they were in Germany that they kicked off and I had to miss that game.
I was telling my dad, like, we're going to wake up at 6:30 to watch the game or we're going to record it, more than likely.
Record it.
Going to record it and watch it.
That's a whole rant I can go on in the off season. But
so we can,
outside
yeah.
of that, Skagit, I mean, I really do enjoy it out here. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
If you're listening across the world, make sure to get out to Skagit Speedway. I've been to 190 dirt tracks, and I have yet to see a more picturesque track than Skagit Speedway. And I said that before I even worked here.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was coming out here for Dirt Cup, it is beautiful. I mean, look over.
Wade talks about it, too. It's just beautiful.
Mountain off of turn number 2. You really see it during the High Limit broadcast. If you're looking to kind of see what the surroundings look here, check out the High Limit broadcast because they took the drone up several times, especially early in the broadcast, and you can see the sound is, I think, 7 miles by the way a bird flies from the racetrack, so really not that far. And a cool Mel told us about some overlook yesterday.
Yeah,
that I can't. Or
sorry, no, I don't remember
Blanchard's
it.
Blanchard's overlook. Or
yeah,
something
let's
like
see.
That.
Oh, I look,
but
we,
that's
we
not
both
far,
tried to look it up.
That's not far from the racetrack, and he said that's beautiful. And I did look it up and found out. Yeah, it's a super close.
Yeah, Blanchard. Yeah.
Yeah, Blanchard overlook and Sammamish overlook. It's 10 minutes from the track, and it overlooks the sound. But it's beautiful here, and we're just you can fly into SeaTac or an hour and a half north of SeaTac, fly into Vancouver, or an hour, just over an hour, depending on how long it takes you to get across the border. But
Bellingham, if you can get a flight.
If you can get into Bellingham, we're 20
minutes.
Yeah, 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, 20.
You drive by it every day. But And honestly, if you fly into Vancouver, it's getting through the border. We hear from our race fans all the time. It's a breeze.
We have Canadian teams that do it weekly.
Yeah,
so.
They do it weekly. So, and they're taking a trailer across every week. But it's a breeze, honestly. Everyone says it's easy. I'll find out hopefully this winter. And I think I might venture up to
Vancouver. Have you ever
been
up to Vancouver?
I have not. Really? Mom and Dad went there on vacation when I was in high school 20
it's pretty.
Years ago. And they said Vancouver is one of their favorite spots they've been to. So I need to get up there. I've got my passport and all that good stuff. I just need to do it.
Yeah.
And I just need to – it gets hard. You know, racing, when it's beautiful here, we're racing. And then when the weather turns, like ironically on Monday it's going to do, we're done. And then it gets dark and gloomy, and it gets hard to get motivated to go 100%. Somewhere when it's raining all day long.
And it's cold, and you're like, I'd rather just stay inside.
I've got a dog, and not – then it's like
– You don't want to leave – Cece. Yeah.
Don't want to leave her home for the day because she's only 9 months old. And then if I do, then I'd wet dog.
Yeah.
Smells, you know, that's a wonderful smell. But I get her a raincoat. I'm going to have to do that. I have to get her a little raincoat to put on. But she's.
Yeah. Get her little booties for her feet so they don't get wet. Yeah.
But I'll get up there at some point. I'd like to get over to Leavenworth. Leavenworth, if you haven't been here, Leavenworth's beautiful.
Really? I've never been here, but it looks really pretty even in the winter.
My mom and dad went there when they were out here last month, and they said it was beautiful. And I guess it's one of the best Christmas towns in the country.
I've been in the summer. Every year. Never seen it in winter, but all the pictures and
everything
I see.
Every year they say it's like one of the best Christmas towns in the country. So if you're coming up here during the winter, can't make it to Skagit, check out Leavenworth. And obviously Seattle is – I'll say Seattle is so underrated. It's so much different than everything I heard when
That's
I moved
fair.
Out here. Everyone – I mean, downtown, I've been downtown a ton. Not once have I felt unsafe.
No, I haven't either.
The homeless people, they don't bother you. I told Caleb Hart the other day, there's not that many more homeless people here that you see than I saw in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But Seattle has this reputation, and I'll say it's
Seattle's
coming from a guy that came from the Midwest and East Coast for 35 years. Seattle is not near as bad. And that was the first thing my brother said when we were downtown in August. He goes, this is way nicer than what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But it just has this reputation. I can tell you, a hand on the Bible. I thought I would not like it, and I love it. And
good.
Pike Place is great.
Pike Place is a lot of fun.
Yeah, Pike Place, wonderful. They've got the new overlook beyond that. So come make a trip
wheel.
And go see the Ferris wheel, Pike Place, the pier.
Space Needle.
That's beautiful. Like, there's a lot you
catch
can do out here.
Catch a Kraken game.
Yeah, we'll catch several of those this winter. We saw the Senators last year.
Yeah, Ottawa.
We saw Matthew Tkachuk.
Brady Tkachuk.
Brady, yes. Matthew plays for the Panthers. I'm learning hockey, so work with me.
We're getting
folks.
There. Maybe we'll get you up to Vancouver for a Kraken game.
I want to get to a Kraken game up there.
Yeah, the Canucks have a nice arena.
It's right in the heart, right on the water.
Yeah, and it's right next to BC Place, too, which is where the Lions play.
So, Therese Kirkham, that works in our office, she goes up to Vancouver. She's got some family up there occasionally. I think her sister lives up there, and she had me poking around on Google Maps one time down there, and I saw, it's right on the water downtown. Because that's something my buddy Brent Anderson and I had talked about. And I don't know if you know Brent yet.
I know Brent. I know Brent well.
Brent.
Yeah, I know Brent well.
It talked about
I know him.
We need to get up there and maybe do a Kraken game up there because Brent and I usually go to a Kraken game. I don't go with him. I end up with you and Caleb. Caleb and I have gone to a few when you were back at college. That's one sport I was into a ton when I was a kid, and then the lockout happened in 2004, and I was 14, and I just never – they missed
the
whole season.
The lockout hurt a lot.
And I never gravitated back to hockey, and I've always been a basketball guy my entire life. Even when I was into hockey, I was into basketball, and still love basketball, but no NBA team here.
Hopefully, I could see one coming, but
coming
I don't know.
Back, hopefully coming back, fingers crossed. But nonetheless, never had an NHL team in a city I lived in. Charlotte didn't have an NHL team. They had an AHL team.
Charlotte
Indianapolis
Checkers.
Had an ECHL team, the Indy Fuel.
Oh, yeah. That's,
were the Blackhawks affiliate.
Are they even a thing anymore?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they? Okay.
They just built a new arena.
Oh, okay.
Yep. They built a new arena up in Noblesville Carmel. But they played on the state fairgrounds. Growing up in Des Moines, we had an AHL team, Iowa. They were the Chops. Now they're the Wild.
Yep.
But
go Wild.
I mean, I never had an AHL team. So then I moved out here. When I came out for a Race Redeem Foundation function 2 years ago, living in Indy, John Hager took me to a game, my first NHL game. We saw the Red Wings, and then I moved out here, and I think I've been to 5 or 6 Kraken games, and now, I have the Kraken app, but I honestly watch most of their games on Prime, because if you live in
Yeah.
Washington and Idaho, you can watch the games on Prime.
Yeah, you can get them on King 5, but they're on Prime
King
too.
King 5
yeah.
and Prime, but it was just for local areas. So then I got home and thinking back home to Iowa over Christmas, thought, oh, I'll watch the Kraken game on Prime.
Oh, hoping that didn't work.
Hoping that it maybe hadn't caught that I was out of state yet or something like that. And nope, tried clicking it. You're out of the viewing area, so I had to miss the game. But I watch a handful, especially if they're on the West Coast. It's easy to watch because we're home in time. Mm-hmm. As long as Iowa basketball's not playing, then I'll. But even when they are, I'll usually maybe
you
turn
can double screen it. Yeah.
I'll turn it on my iPad or something. But I try to watch a lot of their games. Coverage is great, and getting back into hockey and the Kraken, I don't know what to expect out of this year.
I don't.
But
they'll be
very, very fringe playoff team at best.
They need another run in the playoffs too.
Then the Mariners the Mariners just locked into the playoffs last night. Caleb was there.
Yeah, I saw that.
He wanted me to go. I just didn't get out of here early enough.
Yeah.
To get down, but I mean that's exciting. So I mean, if you come out to Skagit during the summer, there's a lot to do out here.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a Mariners game, Pike Place, Space
come to
Needle.
Skagit, Speedway.
If you like hiking, there's a ton of hiking to do around here. If you, Friday at Deming, I mean, there's lots to do on your trip to Skagit Speedway if you come out here for a summer weekend, especially Dirt Cup. If you come out here Dirt Cup,
Dirt Cup or High Limit.
The Deception Pass is 25 minutes away, and that's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of little beautiful islands you can get to, too, by a ferry.
Watching.
Yep.
So
I want to get whale watching.
I do, too.
We can go down so many rabbit holes, but
There's a ton to do out here. If you're coming for the first time and you need some ideas, reach out to us.
Oh, yeah. We'll give you plenty of ideas.
Don't hesitate to reach out. Whether you reach out to our Facebook page or
give
us
a call
on Twitter,
in the office.
Give us a call in the office. Like, we're more than happy to
guide
your trip and give you plenty of stuff to do. Don't hesitate to reach out if you have questions about Skagit Speedway. We're here to answer them and here to inform. And we're trending in the right direction, and a lot of that is due to you listeners, and we greatly appreciate it. But Eric, we've got plenty to talk about in the offseason, that's
yes,
for sure.
Yes, we do.
So we can save some of our other chats about the North Pacific Northwest for the offseason, but we've got a good hour-plus-long episode. So
Quickly, before we wrap up, who are you watching this weekend? Locally, I think I'm going to watch Westergaard because he ran so well last year.
Cole Logan.
And then Cole Logan's going to be fun to watch.
The Smith brothers have been as fast as they've been last year and a half here. Both Kevin and Rick have won in the past couple weeks. So that was neat. I mean, our locals, we had a lot of different winners this year, and I kind of, quite frank, expected Jeff Westergaard to dominate this year.
I did too a little bit.
Especially the way he capped last year off with like three wins in a row. I thought, oh boy. But
one, two, three, four. Sorry.
Yeah.
Around six different winners.
Yeah, so that's it. Tyson Blood will be up here. Tyson only made one trip up here, but he's our state champion. And shoot, with all the bonuses and stuff, if you win, if you hit all the bonuses and all that, it's nearly $14,000.
It's a nice payday. It's a really nice payday.
We've got several big guns coming from Oregon and California. Gray Ferrando hasn't entered yet, but I know Gray will be here. He's not going to be anywhere else. So Devin Reed will be
tough. Any thoughts
on
Tom Barry going to come back to defend?
I don't think Tom's going to be here. Last I knew he wasn't. But shoot, last year, about today was when that whole deal came together for Barry and Strickler.
Like, okay.
That's when we found out about it. It was Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
But when I had a buddy ask Tom this spring, and he said at that point he wasn't planning on it. But like I said,
anything
this point
change,
last year, it didn't come together until late. And Tom's originally from Oregon. So he's an Oregon guy that just moved to the Midwest to race more. So he very well could. But the Whistlers, I'm sure, will be here. They're always super fast. Evan Reed will be here. He's already entered the 58 car from Vancouver, Washington. Mm-hmm. Runs in Oregon quite a bit. He was out running the IMCA Super Nationals. He's fast. He won the Friday night program last year. There's going to be some good mods, some high-quality modified racing.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of takes me back home. So it even if you hate modifieds, if you're a hater, still come check it out because the racing is really good. And I'm not saying that just to sell tickets.
No,
honestly,
not like
I do feel that the racing, this is the best modified racing you'll see on the West Coast, just Skagit Speedway this weekend.
It's 3-4 wide, it's clean, it's hard racing, but
it's got the track looking good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited. It'll be a big weekend and a great way to cap off our season with an exclamation point. Get your tickets on SkagitSpeedway.com or come join us Friday and Saturday, the Midgets Friday, the 360 sprint cars on Saturday. And a great way to cap off a solid 2025 season, Eric.
Yeah, with that, thanks everyone for listening to this edition of On the Gas presented by Skagit Speedway. We'll catch you in the off season. Take care.